This morning I want to talk to you. By the way, you know the date is 02-12-12. I thought that was kind of fun. What a nice date, huh? 2-12-12. And I've been talking about us this year in 2012 to start something new in 21-2. That God wants to do some new things and a new sense, and there's a new urgency. And I felt as I was away here a couple weeks ago that Lord spoke a couple things to me in my heart, that there would be a new anointing in prayer, a new anointing in prayer, a new anointing in worship. And I want to talk this morning and start a series that we're going to talk about in the name of Jesus. We'll talk about prayer this morning and how we connect with God. Because God wants us to connect to Him in I think, a brand new and refreshing way. He wants to make it new and fresh, alive and exciting in our lives, and not just something that's old and stale and boring, but alive and dynamic. And I believe He's going to do something in a powerful way. He's spoken a number of things to me, and we've got some new changes that are going to happen too as we move forward. On Wednesdays, we're going to do a couple of new things. I'll share about that next week. But if you want something new in your life, you can't go about it the same way you have always done it before. You must do something new, to step out in the Spirit and try something new, to step out in the Spirit and try something new. Say that with me. To step out in the Spirit and try something new. God's kind of saying, let's do something new, something fresh. Well, we might be trying some new things here. I'm going to try a couple of things and see what God might do. Some of them are going to go, oh, I love it. Let's keep moving on that. Some will go, oh, we came, we saw, we're done. But if we never try something new, then we'll never really know what God wants to do in our lives. And we always have to have that adventure. That one makes the adventure. When we try something new, there's an adventure in something that's new, that's fresh in your life. And I think it's important for us. We'll that which we try that's good, we'll keep, and that's what's not, we'll pass by. But we've got to be willing to try some new things. Not try new doctrine. I'm not trying to say, hey, let's explore some new doctrine out there. But I'm talking about, how do we take what we do know and experience it in a fresh and new way, in an exciting way, and in a way that will cause us to grow, in a way that we step out and practice our doctrine. I think sometimes as Christians, we know it, but we don't step out and practice it in new and different ways, so that we're growing inside, because we're dependent and we're needy upon the Lord. So I feel He wants to do some new things, and we'll mix up some things here. And when I think about prayer, you know, prayer is connecting with God. We're going to connect with Him. Worship is a way we connect with God. Prayer is a way we connect with God. We touch Him. We understand Him. We have a relationship with Him. I think prayer is conversation, right? When we talk about prayer, that's conversation with God. And conversation with God is relationship with God. And relationship with God will leave us changed in the outcome. It's kind of like, have you seen a person, a guy and a girl, they get married and then they spend time together and they start looking alike. Have you noticed that? They kind of look the same, so to speak. They kind of start taking on some of the same attributes. They kind of wearing each other, and all of a sudden, the good points of one and the good points of the other kind of get blended together in there, and it's an awesome thing. Now, in our relationship with the Lord, He's not changing, because He's got all the good points, but the good points, as we rub together with the Lord, we start to look like Him, act like Him, talk like Him, walk like Him, and we start moving, and our Christianity goes to a whole different level. And prayer is a crucial element in our relational growth with Jesus Christ, with God, for us to grow as Christians. And I think sometimes prayer, you know, sometimes it's that relational conversation and dialogue. Sometimes prayer is, help! It's interesting that a couple of days ago, Christian was telling me, Roman was out in the backyard and he was playing, and then they hear this, help! And they go out in the backyard and they see this. Can you turn the lights down over here for a second? You show the next picture? He was hanging from the fence. He was hanging from the fence, and he could not get down. Have you ever felt sometimes in your life that you're hanging from a fence and you don't know how you're going to get down? And all you can do is cry out to your Father, help! And He comes along, pulls you up by your jacket, and gets you out of the jam that you're in. But I don't think that God wants our dialogue with Him just to be times of help, but a dialogue of conversation that grows us. That grows us in such a wonderful and powerful way that we're left different a year from now. That we grow, that we become more and more like Jesus. I entitled this series, and we're going to talk about this morning, In the Name of Jesus. We always hear about, you know, and when you pray, pray in the name of Jesus. When you pray in the name of Jesus, like it's some sort of magic incantation, like a hocus pocus dominocus, or a supercalifragilistic, or a abracadabra, or a open sesame, or a yabba dabba do. I mean something in there. Some sort of word said in a certain pattern, rhythmic pattern. If you add those and tag them to whatever you throw out there as a prayer, all of a sudden, if you put the right order, the right words, and put them down there, that God somehow takes out a big stamp and goes, boom, approved, and passes it along, and your prayer gets answered. And then if for some reason you don't say it exactly right, well, I just prayed, and it was great, and God goes, hey, that was a great prayer, awesome, you prayed from your heart and super, but you didn't end it right, so boom, rejected. Have to reject that prayer because you didn't say in the name of Jesus. I think there's something about that name. But it's not just some words that we say. There's something that's behind the words. Something that has the power, that has an authority, that begins to change our life. And it changes how we pray and what God starts to do. And I believe what the Lord wants us to do is to start praying some audacious prayers that we possibly could not answer on our own. There's something that's way above and beyond what we could do. So He can say, I am God, I answer prayers, I am miraculous, and I want to do some amazing things in your life. But we don't ask Him. Talk about that as we move along here. The name. What's so important about a name? A rose by any other name is still a rose, right? Hey, Jesus Christ by any other name, it doesn't work. There's something powerful in a name. If I walked into the offices of Microsoft and I was walking around in there and security comes and says, I'm sorry, sir, you can't go in there, you can't do that, you can't do all that. I go, well, I'm related to Bill Gates. You'd call that being a name dropper, wouldn't you? Oh, you do. And they call up and find out I'm a relative somehow, and you know I don't have a Gates name, but I'm related to him somehow. They go, oh, sir, yes, Bill just said you're coming in. Why, all means, all of a sudden doors start opening up for me as I move around in Microsoft. Why? Because I know Bill Gates. You see, it's very important who you know. Because who you know can open up doors for you in your life. But with his name, Bill Gates' name, I can do more than I can do with my name when it comes to Microsoft. When it comes to getting prayers answered and to have things happen in your life, you can do more with the name of Jesus Christ than you can do with your own name. Your own efforts, your own abilities. You can do more with the name of Jesus Christ than you can do with your own name. And that name opens up doors. That name has power. That name changes things. That's a game changer in anything we do when we invoke the name of Jesus Christ. I want to talk about some of these passages where it says, in my name. These are all red letter. If you were in your Bible, they'd be all red letter. They are the ones that Jesus spoke. He's going to speak about how we need to pray. And what happens when we pray in His name? And I'm going to give you four sections of Scripture here. The first section we're going to spend most of our time on. 2, 3, and 4, we're going to go really fast, so don't worry. But I want to talk about what happens when we pray in the name of Jesus. First of all, answers to prayers are released in His name. Answers to prayers are released in His name. This first section of prayer, a section of Scripture, we're going to talk about the Apostle John and the writer of the Gospel John in these next number of Scriptures. John 14:13, it says this, "And whatever you ask in My name, that I will do." Now, it doesn't sound like a powerful statement. Whatever you ask in My name, that I will do. That's why a lot of us go, "Holy, blah, 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 in the name of Jesus," like it's the hocus pocus. But there's something more behind it than that. We tag it, but He's asking something deeper here, and I'm going to go into it in a moment. In John 15:18, "You did not choose Me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and that whatever you ask the Father in My name, He may give you." John 16, starting at verses 23 and 24. "Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in My name, He will give you. Until now, you have asked nothing in My name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full." That your joy may be full. The word ask here, ask. Is a Greek word, ateo, and it means it means to ask, but it's also translated ask, beg, call for, crave, desire, require. There's something powerful behind the word ask. It's not just a, "Hey, dude, you do anything?" There's an unction behind this ask. It's a craving. It's a desire. There's some passion behind it. It's not a flippant request, but there's something deep in your heart that really wants this thing to happen. And my question to you is this: if right now you could ask God for anything, and the sky was the limit, if you could ask Him for anything, and the sky was the limit, what would you ask Him for? He says ask and you'll have. If you could ask Him for anything, think right now. If you could ask Him for anything, I'm not talking about as big as you want it. I mean, it's huge. Think huge. What would you ask Him for? What would you ask Him for? My next question is this. You can. It's not a scenario. It's not one of those, "Well, if you could do anything and guaranteed not to fail, what would you do?" "Well, I would be president of the United States." I mean, we throw all those thoughts out there. But when it comes to prayer, do you understand that when you ask, we ask such prayers that we could probably make happen ourselves instead of some bold, audacious prayers that really take a living and dynamic God to make them happen. We don't pray way out there. We pray so close in here. You could ask anything. So why don't we? Why don't we ask for anything? Is it because we don't want Him to look bad? We're protecting God? We want to make it easy for Him? You don't want to be disappointed? I think sometimes we don't pray audacious prayers because we don't want to be disappointed. "I don't want to pray for that. Get my hopes up and believe God. And then it ain't going to happen." Who says it's not going to happen? What are we believing for? Sometimes we believe so much more for stuff not to happen than for God to make it happen. What if we could change our thinking and realize that we serve an omnipotent God who's all powerful, and He could do anything, and He's asking you, "Hey, grow in faith, grow up some. Hey, ask Me for something more. And what could I do for you? Or what could I do and how could I use your life that it could affect so many more?" Are we willing to ask Him? Do we feel like He just wouldn't do it for you because you're really not one of His favorites? You know, gosh, if Pastor Tom asked for it, God would do it. But if I ask Him, He won't. Or if Steve Stone asked Him to do it. I mean, He looks like Moses. And when Steve Stone prays, it's like heaven comes down. And the angels start to sing. I'm going to dye my hair white. My wife said, just wait a moment, it's getting there. You think of somebody else who has this awesome prayer life or this or that, and or that somebody that, you know, God always liked you best. He's for you. We talk ourselves out of so much stuff. We belittle ourselves so much. But God is for you. He's not against you. He wants to raise your expectations of what He can do in your life. He wants to do so much more. But do we ask Him? Do we ask Him? Do we ask Him? Mother Teresa, He'll do it for her. But I'm just plain old Phil. I'm nobody. But He's for you too. Mark Batterson, in this book that I've been reading, said this: God has determined that certain expressions of His power will only be exercised in response to prayer. Simply put, God won't do it unless you pray for it. You have not because you ask not. The greatest tragedy in life is the prayers that go unanswered because they go unasked. They go unanswered because they go unasked. So ask and keep asking. Be specific. Believe something big, huge, awesome, wonderful. Pray for something that's beyond what you can make happen. Because then only God can get the credit for it when it does. I look at the Carinetta of the Palouse and look at that beautiful building that they have out there. And I mean, that was a vision way beyond you, wasn't it? And yet you believe for something. And guess what? What we looked out there and was nothing, a piece of dirt. Now look at this beautiful, awesome, wonderful building. It's absolutely beautiful and spectacular. And it's full of wonderful people. And it's helping to change people's lives. A vision, something way beyond you. But God, and we look back and we go, God did that. God did that. Pray those big, audacious prayers that you can't do on your own. Two observations here about prayer. Number one, we don't have because we don't ask. We don't have because we don't ask. In James 4, 2, it says this. You lust, and that word lust here in the Greek means you set your heart upon something. You long for something. It's not just a sexual thing. It's you long for something. You want something. You desire something. There's something out there that you're looking for. He says you long for it, but you don't have it. You long for it, but you don't have it. And then look what it says here. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have. Now it says, because you do not ask. But what I was seeing also in the scripture is this. You murder, you covet, you fight, you war. All that you can do in your own strength. You see what's happening here? This person's fighting, they're warring, they're murdering, they're coveting. They're doing all of their stuff to try to obtain what they're longing for. And he says you don't get it because you're trying to get it in your own strength and you don't ask me. There are so many things in our life that we just handle ourselves because we can. And we don't want to bother God. Then we need to dream for something bigger. Where you need God to do something. Where you need Him to empower you. So the first thing is we don't have because we don't ask. Because we'll do it either ourselves, or it's way beyond us, we just don't want it because we don't want to be disappointed if we don't get it. But secondly, it says this. You ask, okay, now I'm asking, and don't receive. Well, why? You just told me I needed to ask and pray these bodacious prayers, and why don't I receive them now? Because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. You may spend it on your pleasures. My second observation is this when it comes to prayer. First, we don't have because we don't ask. But secondly, we don't have because we don't ask correctly, i.e., we ask selfishly instead of spiritually. We ask selfishly instead of spiritually. We ask for all the things that will make my life easier, my life more wonderful. I'm going to talk about this in just a moment, so hang with me here. And so I want to consume it all on me rather than what spiritual things does God want to do? What spiritual things does God want to do? What does he want to do? And so we begin to pray it in the name of Jesus. And when we talk about his name, that's his authority and his character. In the name of Jesus, his authority and his character. So when we pray in the name of Jesus, when we pray in his name, it's in my power, i.e. Jesus' power, and for my Jesus' purposes. Now here's what's important. You didn't have it up here because you wanted to just spend it on yourself. You had your own ideas, your own thoughts, and whatever. And so you wanted to spend it on your own pleasures. And what he's saying, when we pray in the name of Jesus, when I pray in his name, I'm praying in his power, and I'm praying for his purposes. Then God starts doing some amazing stuff. In his power and for his purposes, when I say, and I pray it in the name of Jesus, by his power and for his purposes. That's what it says when we invoke his name. It's like when Creighton, when he was in our house, when did he start doing that? When did he start going to the grocery store? He started going to the grocery store he'd shop for us at the grocery store when he could drive. What was it, 16, 15 and a half? And so we gave him a credit card. So Creighton had a credit card, is in my name. Actually, we got one that put his name on there, but the credit card really, but the bill is in my name, all right? And so we gave him this credit card. And as I give him this credit card, it's in my name, so it has my buying power, right? My buying power. And when he went to the store, it was for my purposes. Now, he had a little liberty if he wanted to buy this, that, and the other. And, if you're going to be in the Vance family, you got to make sure you know what are the cheapest things to buy. You got to be able to do math and go, oh, how much is that per pint? How much is that per pint? How much is that per pint? We don't shop label, brand, all that stuff. Nonsense. We shop prices. Not whatever's the cheapest, but whatever's the best value. Yes, we're looking for value. Value. Now, when I give him this card, he has my power, my buying power. But as he goes, if he were to take this card and decide he's going to buy, not go to the grocery store and buy that, but he's going to go to the music store and buy himself 3 bass guitars. And then he's going to go and decide, hey, he needs a new ride. And he goes down here and he buys himself a brand new car. I think it would max me out, probably. And all of a sudden does all these things. I'd be going, hey, what are you doing? Hey, you gave me your card. I know. It's in my name, my buying power, but it's also for my purposes. My purposes. When we're praying, we need to make sure that we have a power. We have a power. And he grabs God's card. He has an unlimited. He doesn't have a limit on his card. There is no limit. But we must buy in his power and for his purposes. And that's the one that messes us up sometimes. Because we are 100% in tune with our desires and our purposes. And we kind of, and the whole idea of prayer and communion with God is so we can begin to understand what he wants. We connect with God to find out, God, what are you doing in the heavenlies? What do you want done? Lord, what are your purposes? What do you want to see happen? And then we begin to pray and exercise and use the card for his purposes, okay? And now that doesn't mean they're always opposite of your purposes. But when we understand what his purposes are, we can take the power and then see his purposes come to pass. Does that make sense, everyone? Why isn't this, I pray for this, why isn't it happening? Is it in God's purpose? Does God want that? That when we start looking and praying for people to be saved, does God want people saved? He wishes that none should perish. So when we pray for someone to be saved, we know we're praying what God wants done. What about healing? Hey, he went to the cross. By his stripes, he's wounded, he's bruised. What for our transgressions? By his stripes, we're healed. So we need to realize that God wants to do that. But we're saying, God, you know, I really need a Mercedes. Can you send one down? I don't know where he's at on that. Do we pray in his power? I'll tell you what, when you pray in the power of God, when you're using God's money, it's a lot of fun. When Creighton went and bought all the groceries, he got to buy all the stuff, and you know what? Nothing came out of his pocket. It came out of mine. It's always fun spending somebody else's money, isn't it? If somebody gave you money and said, go, please, spend it. No, please, spend it all. You're going, all right, it's fun to do that. When it's your own, you get worried about how it all goes. God's given us a spending account. But it has to be for his purposes. In prayer, are we connecting with God so we know his purposes? We know his direction. You see, even Jesus taught us how to pray. He taught us how to pray in Luke 11, 1 through 4. Now it came to pass, as he was praying in certain place, when he sees that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us, how do we pray? As John also taught his disciples. So he said to them, when you pray, and he goes, here's the outline. I think some people go, no, this is how I pray, and so I just read these words over and over and over and over and over again. It's not meant to be some sort of limerick that we just keep throwing out there because it has some sort of magical power. The idea is that here's the outline. Our Father in heaven, do we know where our source is? Hallowed be your name. You're awesome. And look what it says here. Your kingdom come, not my kingdom come. Your will be done, not my will be done. Even Jesus said, not my will be done, but thine be done. When we're in this prayer, it's asking us that when we pray, we've got to pray for his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. He's got a kingdom in heaven he wants to plant on this earth that we need to bring down here via prayer so it transforms the lives of people. In this dark age that we're living in, that's getting darker by the moment, he wants to plant a kingdom of light. Are we praying for his kingdom to fall? And then he says, hey, give us day by day our daily bread. I need stuff. I want us to provide that for you. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who are indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. So there's some other prayers involved in there about our day-to-day life. But he's asking us to get a vision beyond day to day onto something eternal and bring the eternal down here to right now. Are we willing to pray some huge prayers for people, for lives, for missions, for projects, for stuff that we know God wants to see happen because it will transform his kingdom from there, translate it from there to here? We need to pray in God's purposes and God's power, not just ours. Mark Batterson said this, God is not a genie in a bottle, and your wish is not his command. His command better be your wish. Until his sovereign will becomes your sanctified wish, your prayer life will be unplugged from its power supply. That we need to pray in God's power for God's purposes. Say that with me. In God's power, for God's purposes. However, say however. This is the cool thing about God. We keep thinking, okay, now all my prayers, I got to figure out what is his will, make sure we're praying for his will. I'm just completely out of this stuff, so I'm going to try to find his will. I'm going to connect with God, begin to pray some great prayers because I want to see God do some amazing things out there for people's lives and spiritually and all that stuff out there. See massive people get saved and see missions happen and all sorts of stuff and great things happen and oh, that's going to be really awesome. However, Psalm 37:4, I love it. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Oh, wait a second, I got to pray in his power, and I got to pray for his purposes. And then he throws this thing in here. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. I love this word delight here. It's the Hebrew word, anag, And it means to be soft or pliable. To be soft or pliable. To be soft or pliable. I think when God sees us and we have this soft, pliable heart, He can't resist you. He, honest to goodness, cannot resist you. He's saying, you have not because you don't ask, and then you don't get it because you're not praying in my power and for my purposes. And then he has this other one. Just be soft and pliable. And when we're soft and pliable in God's hands, he goes, oh, he's like me when my grandkids come by. You know, there's one thing I enjoy when my grandkids come by. When they're soft and pliable and wonderful, I love to give out candy. They come to me. Are they gone? Are they not here today? Oh, so, all right. So.
Here, I'll stand in.
Oh, no, get out of here. They're usually here. I didn't realize that. No, you don't have to get them real fast. You two can stand in. Come on over here. Oh, there's something about grandkids, and for me it's all kids, because I love all kids, regardless of their age. That when they ask and they say, can I have some candy? Say that.
Can I have some candy?
I can't help but open up my candy jar and go ahead, grab some. Is that what you want? Have you ever heard that song before? Have you? You haven't ever heard it, huh? Oh, you just because you've been in my office before, haven't you? Yeah, you have. Most people go, I have no idea what that song's about. All right, you guys can sit down. Thank you. Come here, give me a big hug. Give me a big hug. Give me a big hug. Oh. Now, do we have any other kids out there that want some candy? Come on up here if you want some candy. If you want candy, come on up here. Hurry, hurry. You better come up here and grab a piece. If you want some candy, come on up. If you want candy, come on up. Any, that's right. I don't care. No, just one. Don't bust my box. Don't bust my box. Because you need to be, everybody, soft. Everybody say soft. Pliable. Generous.
Thanks.
All right, you're welcome. What's that? What was that? Oh, there was one who returned to say thank you. Yes, I have the 10 that received something. And there's more here. If anybody, you know, I don't care how old you are, just come on up here and grab some if you want through the message. There's good candy in there. What I want to say is this. God is after us having this connection with Him that we begin to pray and that we find out His will and we pray in His power and for His purposes. But there's something about God in His heart. He's got a soft spot for us. He is so for you. That when you're soft before Him and you start going, God, I need a parking spot. I know this parking spot has nothing to do with eternity. It's not saving anybody. It's not keeping anybody from damnation. But I would sure love to not walk as far. Could I get a closer spot? And God goes, oh. He takes a guy and he goes, get out of there. Pushes your car right in there. I'm saying there's something amazing about God. We don't have because we don't ask. Or we ask incorrectly. We just want to consume everything on ourselves. But when we're soft and pliable before Him, it's His joy and delight to give you the desires of your heart. The desires of your heart. Secondly, in His name, the Holy Spirit is released in His name. The Holy Spirit is released in His name. John 14, 26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and will bring and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. I'm going to talk about that next week, so I'm not going to spend a bunch of time here. But the Holy Spirit is released in His name. Thirdly, God's presence is released in His name. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree means to be harmonious or in one accord, on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. God shows up. Something happens when we invoke His name and we gather together that all of a sudden God does something very supernatural. Now, He's there when we're by ourselves. It's an interesting scripture here. But something happens when we gather together. He begins to add some more energy to the meeting when we show up with greater numbers. Fourthly, power is released in His name. Mark 16. And these signs will follow those who believe in my name, in my power, and for my purposes. They will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Why? Because you're so great? Because I can pray for you and things happen? No, because it's in the name of Jesus. By His power and for His purposes, supernatural and dynamic things begin to take place if we begin to believe Him to start moving. In His name. In His name. In His name. And let me conclude. The process of prayer, connecting with God, the process of us spending time, of us setting aside time, of us carving out time, saying no to something, moving toward God, allowing our hearts to be soft and pliable, spending time in His presence, praying with Him, talking, communion, conversing. That process of prayer, that process of prayer that we set time for is just as important as the answers to your prayer. I don't know how to say that. In God's sight, the process you go through in prayer is just as important or precious as those answers that come out. Something happens to you. You are transformed in the process of prayer. And He's probably more concerned about your transformation in that process, in that connection, in that conversation, than He is to the answers that you ask for. That He answers those. Now, I know that they're important to us. Let me say it this way. Answers to prayer changes circumstances. Answers to prayer changes circumstances. The process of prayer changes you. Sometimes you get there, God, I've been praying for this, and I've been praying for it, and I've been interceding, and it's not happening. Why? Why, Lord? And I can't give you the exact reason, but I do know this. The time you spend with Him, and you're beseeching Him, you're begging Him, you're craving, you've got a desire, and you're talking to Him, you feel like you're hung up on that fence. Maybe you're crying out for help. You don't see it happen as fast as you want. He is in the process of changing you. And we got to begin to trust Him that in that process, good things as I carve out the time, say no to other stuff, move toward Him. But God looks at that and goes, wow, look at your heart. It's getting softer. I think sometimes as Christians, we start demanding God that He has to do stuff. And I think there's a time for spiritual warfare, so I'm not belittling that. But we get so demanding of God that He has to move, and He's going, I'm after changing you. But I do still want to answer those prayers. It's not that they're unimportant. But you're more important. And how he changes you as you dialogue with him, as you listen to his voice, as you pray things that are above and beyond you. For us, we need finances. Lord, we pray for finances. You know, and I've always prayed, Lord, help us to get by. And I'm going, God's going, do you just want to get by or do you want to be abundantly blessed? Lord, abundantly bless our congregation. Don't just let them get by. Abundantly bless them, Lord. Go above and beyond. What are we willing to pray for? Pray for prayers that are way out there. Lord, I want to see more people saved, set free. Oh God, move in our city, our community. Move on the mission field. Move in Haiti, Lord. Move in Malawi. Move, oh God. Move at Walmart while I'm walking through the store, Lord. Move. Oh God. Move. Oh God. That when we dialogue with him, spend some time with him, he begins to change us. And that's what's important. But he will answer. He will answer. He will answer. We pray out of our ignorance, but God answers out of his omniscience. We pray out of our impotence, but God answers out of his omnipotence. Isn't it awesome to partner with God? The greatest moments in life are the miraculous moments when human impotence and divine omnipotence intersect. And where does it intersect? In that time that you set aside to connect with God. To connect with God. And I can't help but think God's going, hey, join the conversation. Join the conversation. Connect with me. Connect with me. Connect with me. And watch what I in the muddle of life, don't lose sight of God and his plans for your life. I think so much we're concerned about us and where we're going and what we're doing that we lose track of what God wants to do and where he's going. In the muddle of life, don't lose sight of God and his plans for your life. Our eternal priorities get subjugated to our temporal responsibilities. Our eternal priorities get subjugated to our temporal responsibilities. And we pawn our God-given dream for the American dream. We pawn our God-given dream for the American dream. The American dream is get all this stuff. The God-given dream, let me use you to give it all away. What's God's given dream? Let's not get snared by the American dream. Praise God for America and its prosperity and its blessing. I'm thankful for all of that. But if the American dream snags you and you lose sight of God's dream, then we need to hit the prayer closet again. Remember that God is for you. Let's join the conversation. See what Almighty God might do in you, through you, and for you. If you need deliverance, there's deliverance in the name of Jesus. If you're lost, there's salvation in the name of Jesus. If you're sad, there's joy unspeakable in the name of Jesus. If you can't find peace, there's peace that passes all understanding in the name of Jesus. If it seems like all hope is gone, there's hope for tomorrow in the name of Jesus. If your finances are gone, there's wealth for you in the name of Jesus. If you're weary, there's rest in the name of Jesus. If you want it, God's got it. He's got everything you need. You just need to come. In the name of Jesus, let's pray. Father, help us to understand that you want us to join your conversation. We do that in Facebook and Twitter all the time. Let's join it with you, Lord. Connect with God. To spend some time with you, Lord. To pray some bold and audacious prayers, Lord. To begin to see you move in spectacular ways because we're praying in your will and by your power. And Lord, in the process of all that, you still want to touch our desires when we're soft before you, pliable. You want to grant those things as well, Lord. That candy, just because you love us. Bless us now, Lord. Help us to connect with you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Last thing we want to do today is we want to do communion. We do communion once on a Wednesday in 1 month. The other month we do it here on Sunday. So everyone has a chance to participate. You know, we connect with God in prayer. We connect with God in worship. But we also connect with God in communion. We connect with Him in communion. And as they're bringing the tables out, we're bringing the tables out, right? I want you to allow the Holy Spirit to touch you and allow Him to connect with you in a powerful way. Let me say this, that after we're done with this, if you need prayer for anything, come up here. This is a great time to get prayer for something, to connect with other people who will, when you agree upon something, God does some powerful and some amazing things. Connect with God in prayer. But also as we do communion, there's a couple of things you need to realize. This isn't our communion table, it's the Lord's. So if you need and want to come, and you know Jesus Christ, then you're welcome to partake of communion. But you need to do this. You need to examine your heart, make sure that you're right with the Lord. Secondly, you need to make sure you're right with somebody else out here. If you got a problem, go to them, talk with them. Get it corrected. Get it right. Then thirdly, come and partake. Allow the Holy Spirit, to touch you in a deep, as they set up here. We're not going to wait for everyone. As you come up, when you want to, take some time before the Lord. When you want to come up, just come on up and then partake of the elements at your own leisure. Of the bread that represents His body, and the wine, the grape juice that represents His blood that was paid for us at Calvary. Let God do some amazing things. God bless you guys. Next week, we're going to talk about God goes beyond what you ask for because He's an amazing God. God bless you guys.